You're listening to Neisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Neisha Daily once again right here on ABC Radio Australia. I'm Jacob McQuire.
I'm Michael Chow, and malo tau maue pongi pongi ni. Good morning to anyone in Tonga getting us again. Apparently our tower had a bit of a hiccup.
Oh, no.
A while back, and apparently it's back in order. 103 FM, we live once again.
That is great to hear. So a big, good morning to all you lovely Tongan people tuning in this morning. It's great to have you back, and great that we got that tower fixed. All right, that's wild.
Malo au pito for the ears.
And look, we're going to have a great time this morning right here on Neisha Daily. Let's first, of course, acknowledge the land from which we broadcast today. Yagara and Turrbal land on Australia's east coast. Yagara and Turrbal country covers much of what is now known as Brisbane by many. But we here at ABC Radio Australia pay respect to Yagara and Turrbal elders, both past and present. This is Yagara and Turrbal country as it's been since the first sunrise. And Michael Chow, huge news! All right, we've been talking about it's been hitting the headlines here on ABC Radio Australia all morning. Mm-hmm. A walk is happening. All right, we've got two prime ministers on the Kokoda Trail this morning.
I love the fact that the whole international news is in all a buzz with just two old men going for a walk in the bush.
It's lovely.
I'm curious. We got to find out what the locals think as well. So. Definitely we should be crossing to PNG real soon.
Oh my gosh, yes, we're getting the Papuan perspective this morning all about what's going on the trail. And, you know, Michael, I can't wait for this because I was raised in Australia, all right? So for me, it's Kokoda, all right? Kokoda, I'm really keen on, you know what I mean, getting deep in the Papua New Guinean perspective this morning. But yes, it's going to be a great time. Make sure you're staying tuned in. Let's kick things off this morning with some Ja Mua Jam. This is Te Kovi Leu. You're listening to Neisha Daily.
Tavi Lua. Kia ora koutou. This is Ja Mua Jam here to hype it up for you. And let you know all about the Danger Island. The Wrecker's Reef, the head of the rock. Sam Panada, Puka Puka. Don't do the rock, don't do me now. Check it out.
Echo Vile Wu, Nawi Akaiya.
Bye. ngalo aini ye awamo como e ikila.
Ja Moore Jam this morning with Tekovi Lewu kicking us off this beautiful Wednesday morning.
This is Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
And you'd be forgiven for thinking we love knitting on this show. I mean, considering how much we love a good yarn, am I right?
Hi-yo! You are correct, sir. But obviously it's hard for us to be in all places at once, Jacob. I mean, we're only human.
Absolutely. So in times like these, we've got to talk to the people we know to stay up to date with all the happenings that be happening at a local level.
Taking a trip to the islands for a brand new segment. This is the brand new segment, Community Correspondent.
That's such a new segment,
we forgot to make a sting for it.
Yes, it's Community Correspondent time, which is a time for us to catch up with someone in a specific part of the Pacific. And this morning, we're traveling over to PNG's capital city, Port Moresby, to speak with one of the ABC's top journos on the ground. It's our dear sister, Tekla Gunga. Tekla, good latrinde morning, lo Yususa. How are you going today?
Morning, crew. I'm okay. I'm good.
Oh, man, it is great to be having a chat with you, especially because there is some huge news going down at the moment in Papua New Guinea. Tekla, it's not every day that two men going for a walk together makes international news, but that's more or less what's happened in Papua New Guinea as the prime ministers of both Papua New Guinea and Australia have come together for a trek along the Kokoda Trail in the lead up to tomorrow's Anzac Day. Could you run us through this walk that both James Morape and Anthony Albanese have embarked on?
Exactly, that's right. It's an exciting time here in Port Moresby, especially. This track of the section of the Kokoda, it was more of a private walk for the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. But of course, the PNG Prime Minister would not allow the Australian Prime Minister to do the walk alone. So he joined him. And even the governor for the province, Northern Province, Oro Governor Gary Juffa, he was also there to welcome both the prime ministers. And he was like the host of the province. So he joined them on this walk. The plan for Albanese was to trek a section of the Kokoda Trail, and by Anzac Day, he would have reached this village called Iso Rave, which has the memorials. So that is where they will celebrate the Anzac Day tomorrow. So yesterday, the walk started. Both the prime ministers completed a 15-kilometer hike in one day. That's like it's like through the bush, across the river, up the mountains, and by the end of the day, they reached this village called Deniki, and that is where they spent the day. That is where they spent the night.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, 15 kilometers.
Jacob, I can't even walk 15K in a straight line.
I took
imagine 15K up, down, left, right, crossing the banana tree and all
I
the
know.
Way across the, oh my gosh.
I took the elevator this morning, Michael Chow, and it was one level of stairs. All right, this is wild.
I saw you panting coming out of that elevator, my goodness.
Oh no.
As we've heard though, Tekla, you know, this walk is looking to wrap up in time for tomorrow's Anzac Day dawn service in Iso Rave. But for those curious or unaware, what is the actual significance of this walk that the two PMs are taking?
Yes. The significance of this walk is this is the first time in the history of Papua New Guinea and even Australia for a prime minister, a sitting prime minister, to walk the trek. So it's a history for both PNG and Australia, where both sitting prime ministers walked a section of the Kokoda Trek. So we have always celebrated Anzac Days in towns and cities across Papua New Guinea, Australia, and even in New Zealand. But for the two sitting prime ministers to actually be on the Kokoda Trek and walk and remember the fallen heroes on both PNG, Australia, even New Zealand, it really shows that this sort of friendship that was created so many years ago, and even we have descendants of the Australian soldiers that fought in the war come back and then walk this track. And we also have the Fuzzy Wuzzy Angels, their descendants who live on this track. So it's sort of like a renewing of friendship every year around. But for this year, to have two sitting prime ministers walk the track, it's something that's it's like history in itself. So we had not only the prime ministers who walked, we had people from the PNG Defence Force, the Australian Defence Force, medical staff, and other support staff. So it's about close to 300 supporting staff walking with the prime ministers of both countries. And I should make mention that we have media personnel who most didn't even dream of walking the track, found themselves given the opportunity to walk the track. So, yeah, we should get some very colorful stories when they return from their walks.
Oh, my gosh, that is hectic. Could you imagine, too, it's just like, you know, you never think you're going to walk this track, and the time you do is with two prime ministers at the same time. That is a, that's a wild experience. Now, look, for me and Michael, we're two unfit members of the media watching from a distance. Now, we've been keeping an eye on this walk's progress since it kicked off, and we definitely have our own reactions to seeing these two men walking a portion of the track. But we'd love to know what the reaction's been like from locals in Papua New Guinea, especially those along the Kokoda Trail, seeing sort of, you know, the two prime ministers walking this track.
Yes. So they started from the start of the walk. They had like welcome ceremonies from village to village. And we saw so many colorful pictures of the two prime ministers in the same sheds that had like PNG on one side and Australia on the other side. And the flags of both countries printed out on their sheds, and they were receiving gifts and all these welcomes. So there were pictures of the Australian Prime Minister wearing the tapa cloth. It's tapa cloth is one of these materials made out of a tree bark. It's a very significant and special tree in the Northern Province. So to see him presented this gift, it's like the villagers are so happy, and they welcomed the Australian Prime Minister. It's sort of something that may not happen again for how many years' time. So it was just very colorful. Having the governor of the province to join the walk also really signifies the people-to-people connection.
Mm, yeah, I'm going to say, I saw pictures of the three leaders, Gary Juffa, Albo, and Marape together. And I'm just like, oh, is Gary Juffa that tall? I can't remember, because maybe the other two boys are real short, but like Gary Juffa looks like a mountain compared to these two. But hey, if you've just woken up, hey, hello, you're now on Niger Daily with Jacob and Michael, and we be talking about some walking today, specifically the walk only taking place along the Kokoda Trail in Papua New Guinea. We are at the halfway point of Prime Ministers James Marape and Anthony Albanese, these two respective leaders of PNG and Australia, teaming up for a trek to commemorate the history of what transpired in that area during World War II in the lead up to tomorrow's Anzac Day dawn service, which is taking place at Isurava, where the two PMs are currently headed. But yeah, Tekla, I'll be honest, as a young boy born and raised in PNG myself, I haven't looked at like the Kokoda Walk as like reverently as compared to what Australians have when it comes to history and all that. I didn't even know much about the significance of the battleground until I moved to Australia myself and they started educating me. It was like, oh, you know, in your country, you did like this stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, right on. But you yourself, got to ask, have you ever done the Kokoda Trail walk yourself? Or?
It's always something I've been discussing. When I was in grade 8, I had a close friend. She was from Kokoda. And we wanted to do the trek back when I was in grade 8. But yeah, I don't think we were prepared for that. And then we've always had those conversations, but I've never really like actioned it or planned it. So yeah, I might have a change of mind sometime along the way.
So what you're saying is if me and Jacob flew there today and, and you were doing nothing. Oh, no. I don't want to say that because I'm scared to do it myself. I'm so unfit, Jacob.
Me too. We're in the same boat here. All right. This would be terrible. All right. We'd get left behind. I think Tekla would leave us in the dust. All right. If we were to do it. All right. Oh, my gosh. No, this is, you know, absolutely sort of hectic news. And, you know, to be honest, I think just seeing this all take place before Anzac Day, I think I have a few family members who, I have a family member. Well, my granddad's cousin fought along the trail. My grandfather was stationed in Milne Bay, and my sister walked the trail, actually. Seeing all this sort of happen is pretty hectic. I think, what does this mean as far as signifying the relationship between Papua New Guinea and Australia as it stands today?
Yes, we've always talked about this sort of diplomatic relationship, economic relationship, business relationships and all this. But when you actually look at all these sectors, it's the people that make up these relationships. And it's the people. So to have people, prime ministers, people of, you know, significance walk this track and then meet about over 100 tourists who had already started from the other end of the track. It's those relationships that like renews, and then you create those relationship that lasts for a really long time. Like if we didn't have that relationship, that people-to-people relationship between the Fuzzy Wuzzy Angels and the Australian soldiers, then we wouldn't have this track that will be, you know,
Hello.
What's happening now?
Oh my gosh. That's like the, you know what I mean? That was, you know, so good what Tekla was saying right there. And then we hear the boom, boom. Oh my gosh. That is.
WhatsApp couldn't handle just the sheer magnitude of the journalism happening here. So, you know, in any case, big love to Tekla for joining us nice and early on Nisha Daily. And, you know, we should mention, Jacob, the Dawn service tomorrow is actually going to be airing 5:30 a.m. PNG time tomorrow on ABC Radio Australia.
Oh my gosh.
I know you're not going to be up early that early.
Look,
but you know, there'll be other Anzac Day services across the Pacific as well. But yeah, look, honestly, like this is a special thing. I'm glad that, you know, because again, as Tekla pointed out, this is the first time a sitting prime minister of Australia has done this walk. But not just that, he's doing it with another sitting prime minister of Papua New Guinea. You know, it's huge.
Yeah, no, it is a absolutely huge occasion. Kind of makes me sad, though, that, you know, it's taken this long for something like this to happen.
Oh, yeah. What were the excuses, everyone else who came before?
So, you know, it's a magnificent occasion. And, of course, we're, you know, wishing luck to, the 300 people that are walking the trail alongside these two men. We're definitely giving love to our ABC colleagues, all of our media colleagues that are covering this in Papua New Guinea, who are walking as well. Sending some love to you because Lord knows Michael Chow and I.
We're not the guys for the job.
We're not the guys for the job at all.
Forget it.
You're listening to Nisha Daily this morning right here on ABC Radio Australia.
Hey, one talk. Good luck, day, lo you. ABC Radio Australia is now available on 101.9 FM in Kokopo, Papua New Guinea. Sabo shustalo Kokopo, Tani Radio blo you golo 101.9 FM na bayo are mo latest Pacific news, sports, music, na all kita kain entertainment. From all of us here at ABC Radio Australia, mi bla tok halo na tripla welcome to our new listeners on 101.9 FM in Kokopo. ABC Radio Australia, yours in the Pacific.
Are you wanting to break your betel nut addiction, zumba your way to a fitter you, or get on top of that excruciating case of gout? Pacific Pulse on ABC Radio Australia has you covered. Pacific Pulse seeks out experts, movers and shakers, and aunties and uncles from across our region to bust open our health issues, challenge taboos, and separate fact from fiction. Join host Melissa Macon on Pacific Pulse Wednesday at 6 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
From PNG to Samoa, you're listening to Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, and soon we'll be hearing some more news, the latest news headlines in just a bit. And we're getting really journalistic this morning, Michael Chow. We're speaking to, you know, some top-tier journalists.
Oh, we are.
You know, and
I think... speaking to little old us.
I know. And
what credentials do we have? None.
And to be honest, we've got to do our own journalism today because we're also doing some news footlines a little bit greater.
Oh, my gosh, Jake, let me tell you now. Like, after speaking to Tekla about it and seeing all this, I think I'm going to do a little deep dive on Facebook. While the next song plays, I'm going to find some of the comments from people. I think I've seen some funny ones. I'll definitely read some clean ones for sure. But yeah, lots of reactions online as well. So we'll see what some of those are.
Well, let's give you some time to search this morning and throw to some 1814. Here's their track, Ja Rastafari.
Glorious, righteous, as joyous as Jah is my witness. Oh, faith, peace, harmony, dreams, aspirations, added all together. It's a recipe from Jah, Jah Rastafari. Up in the air, over there, over there. Put your hands up in the air, over there, over there. Put your hands up everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Put your hands up everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. In a cloak of light, he'll wrap you up in a cloak of light. I said, Jah, Jah Rastafari. Yeah, Jah, Jah Rastafari. Come on, Jah, Jah Rastafari. Yeah, Jah. Jumbo.
And that was 1814 this morning with Ja Rastafari. Some chill reggae vibes for your morning right here on Neisha Daily.
Just what I needed on a hump day. You know how to pick the right ones, don't you, Jacob?
Oh, you know, that is such a jam. I'm feeling nice and relaxed. I'm ready to get into some news.
You're listening to Neisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, because it's about that time this morning where we get caught up on all the latest happenings from across the Pacific. And this morning we are joined with Kyle Evans from the Pacific Beat team. Kyle, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm well, Jacob. I missed you guys yesterday.
I missed you as well. How are you?
In all fairness, you work too hard, Kyle. You can miss anything you like.
I'm better. It was a little bit under the weather yesterday, and I'll tell you why. Because as you know, we've got daylight savings down in Melbourne, which means for 6 months of the year, our show actually gets done at produced at 7 a.m. not 6 a.m. PNG time like it usually is. And do you know what happens during that that 6 months in daylight savings time?
What happens?
We go soft. That's what happens. We go very soft.
Look, this,
and it got the best of me yesterday.
This is what I'm saying, though, because you know, Michael and I are based in Queensland. There's no daylight savings because you know what I mean? Get rid of it!
Makes no sense. Look, when I left PNG, that was the first time I ever heard about daylight saving. I was like, what? You're changing the clock?
It's ridiculous.
But I'm in the same time zone. What the hell? And then, all of a sudden, daylight saving is like, oh, you're losing 1 hour of sleep now. Oh, you're gaining 1 hour, and you're losing another one. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Sorry, that's not the news headlines, by the way.
No,
but just venting. Daylight saving makes zero sense.
It's just something to say, you know, the Pacific is better at Australia in many a thing, and time includes those things. All
better
right,
athletes, better concept of time.
It's fantastic. But Kyle, let's get into it this morning. What is the latest in the news cycle?
Yeah, well, it was another busy show. We had lots of live interviews. We started in PNG where Anthony Albanese and James Marape are hiking the Kokoda Trail. So they set off today on the second leg of their journey, which will take them to Isarava Village for the dawn service tomorrow morning. So we had a good chat with Belinda Cora about the significance of that visit, particularly on the heels of a Chinese delegation. Next, we shifted our focus to the Solomon Islands election, where voting has just wrapped up. Caretaker PM Menas Sogavare's Our Party claiming 15 MPs. It's a far cry from the 30 MPs they had coming into the election. And it's a long way from what they actually need to form government as well. So coalition negotiations, they have virtually begun, and we had a good chat to long-time Solomon Islands journalist Dorothy Wickham about what happens from here, and a new PM is not quite out of the question. We also heard from Timor-Leste. Their news coverage has been found lacking when it comes to women's issues. Researchers found that gender stereotypes are commonplace, and blame in areas such as domestic violence reporting are commonly attributed to women. And lastly, we wrap things up with a Torres Strait Islander health professional who is attending the World Health Summit in Melbourne at the moment. So, speaking of Melbourne, there will be a great dawn service here tomorrow. And I was wondering, will you guys be getting up early for the dawn service up in Brisbane?
You know what? Well, Michael Chow will be working
tomorrow.
I'm getting
up early regardless for work. So, yes, I will listen.
And I'm thinking, I might try and get over for it. I've actually never been to the dawn service in Brisbane, and I've heard it's quite large. So we'll see how I go in the morning. But, you know, no promises. No promises, Kyle.
There it is. I was waiting for the no promises.
Oh, my gosh. But, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us this morning right here on Neisha Daily. Wishing you a wonderful rest of the day and some rest, brother. You know what I mean, for an early start tomorrow. But yeah, thank you so much, bro.
It was a pleasure, guys.
Kyle Evans this morning from Pacific Beat. And look, if you're hearing those stories, Kyle giving us a rundown, and you want to know more, you can also listen back to Pacific Beat 10 a.m. PNG time right here on ABC Radio Australia. You can also catch the PM edition at 5 p.m. PNG time. But hey, news anytime, you can head on over to our website. That's right. Just search up ABC Pacific in your favorite search engine. And coming up soon, we'll be hearing what will be going down this morning on Stories from the Pacific. We catch up with the host of the show, Bobby McCumber. Before we get there, though, how about we throw in some Yirmul for your morning? This is Get Happy.
Don't have any worries. nowhere, 'cause I'm going to see my girl. I get a ticket, take her out for a show. Gonna be happy everywhere we go. Gonna shake hands with everyone I meet, put a smile on the face of the bum in the street. People see me coming, they're gonna laugh and laugh, 'cause I make them happy when I come around. La 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 la, eh, eh, eh. La 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 la, eh, eh, eh. When I see a lot to see me smile, who get up out that trouble?
Yirmul this morning with Get Happy. And Yirmul, an amazing First Nations musician. Yolngu man hailing from Northern Territory. And fun fact, Michael Chow, Yirmul's father was a singer and dancer in the legendary band Yothu Yindi.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I was today years old when I found this out. How did I not know this?
You know, look,
great musician, you know, on their own. You know, don't need no extra caveats there, but just knowing that, I'm like, wow, greatness is in the blood.
And I'll say, Yolngu people are legendary sort of in Australia's music industry. You've got Yothu Yindi, you've got people like Yirmul, you've even got Baker Boy.
I'm just trying to work out if we can claim that we're related to someone in Yothu Yindi.
I swear I've got some cousins who probably moved up there. I'm not sure if they're Yolngu or not. Probably some islanders up there in the Northern Territory.
Make some calls to your dad. He'll know.
Yeah, he'll definitely know, yes. But big love to Yirmul this morning.
This is Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
And Michael Chow, we are huge fans of stories here on Nisha Daily, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Yes, certainly. And look, one of the best places to hear stories here on ABC Radio Australia is, of course, Stories from the Pacific. It's where Bobby McCumber sort of, you know, gets to delve deep into the lives of so many amazing Pacific Islander people from around our region. And a new edition airs today right here on ABC Radio Australia. So to keep us up to date on what's happening on the show, we once again call up our sister Bobby McCumber to give us a rundown. Bobby, how are we going this morning?
I'm doing very well this morning. Absolutely loving it. Back in Adelaide this week. Was it last week I was in Melbourne?
Yeah, actually. Oh, wait, no, maybe 2 weeks ago.
I'm doing really well, though. Very well, thank you. And it's good to hear you back on the airwaves, Jacob.
You know, it's great to be back, Bobby, all right? I've missed you. I miss so many of the people I cross with. You know, Michael rung me every now and again to make sure I was still sick and not coming into work. But, you know, it's great to catch up. That's what I'm saying. But look, another beautiful, wonderful edition of Stories from the Pacific hitting ABC Radio Australia once again this Wednesday. Bobby, what's coming up on the show?
Well, before I get into my guest, I want to ask you both, have you ever played contact sports? Like, I played AFL, I'm assuming rugby, or how about you, Jacob? We'll start with you.
Start with me. Look, I had one training session in, I think, the North's Rockhampton Rugby League when I was about seven, all right, mm-hmm. and I never played contact sports ever again. All right. I immediately got very slender and wiry, mm-hmm. so yeah,
okay.
definitely no contact sports for me.
Yeah, right. How about you, Michael?
I think I was 16, 17 playing rugby union over league. I didn't have a choice. It was the only thing my school did when I moved to Australia. And I didn't like it because I got stomped on. I got coat hangered. I got every, like, I was not, like, I'm a bit of a rounder, rotund gentleman now. But back in the day in high school, I was a scrawny, tiny, short, like, paper-thin boy. Believe it or not. And yeah, that just wasn't a good build for union. I just also wasn't fast enough to avoid the abuse from opponents, because that's all I can describe it. I was being abused out there.
Oh, well, see, it's not for everyone. I loved it. Bumping and tackling in AFL, it was so much fun for me. And then there's wrestling with your siblings. Like, I did a lot of all of this contact stuff growing up, and I quite like the physical contact when it comes to competing. But contact to the face or head? Uh-uh. That's an absolute no-no for me. It's that game over. Yeah. It's not fun anymore if someone gets your face or head. But my next guest is from Singatoka in Fiji, who is using boxing to help empower women in the community. Visila Kolikakaro Langi Langi was actually introduced to the sport by her partner, who is now her husband. And I just had to find out what it was like being inside a boxing ring. I have to ask, you know, as a non-boxer, what does it feel like to get punched?
Okay. I usually defend myself before I went to boxing. So imagine, I get that from home, from my parents. But to actually get a punch in the ring, that was like, really? You're going to hit me with those gloves? It shook me a little bit. It shook me. Yeah, it did. It shook me because, come on, I didn't do anything to you, you know? And then I have to get hit. And if I don't hit back, I will lose. That's the most trickiest part of being in boxing.
That was Visila Kolikakaro Langi Langi on this week's episode of Stories from the Pacific. She shared the heartbreak that her family endured, as well as the strength that her and her family continue to show. She was inspirational and joyful, and yeah, I think people are really going to connect with Visila's story from Fiji.
Oh my gosh, just amazing. And you know what I mean? Talk about a sport I have no business trying, all right? Oh. Boxing.
Have you ever tried putting on the gloves, though?
Oh, I've put on the gloves, all right, and sort of swung the air.
I like that they're padded, but that doesn't do much when, like, there's a professional athlete wearing them.
Oh.
And yeah, oh my gosh.
Absolutely, I mean, wild.
I've used boxing for fitness, but yeah, I can honestly say that no one has punched me. And thank God. I think maybe with my siblings there has been a little, and then God, I don't know what happened next, but I think I saw red. But I would hate to be in a boxing ring. Oh, it just terrifies me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I gotta say, my brother is much more of a grappler. All right, so not a lot of punches. But you know, while we're talking a little bit about sports, how about we talk a little bit about Fresh Off the Field? It's your other show, Bobby McCumber, and there's another edition coming up soon. What will we be hearing on Fresh Off the Field?
Well, this week we're actually going to take a week off because we've got a public holiday here in Australia. But that doesn't mean that we're gone for long. So I will be back the following week, and I'll have Cynthia Sader from the Solomon Islands, as well as Lulu Laris, who is a sports journalist from Bougainville. So those two will be coming back, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, with plenty more sports reports from across the Pacific.
Oh my God, I didn't know there was a public holiday. Does that mean I don't do the show on Thursday again? You're by yourself, Michael Chow.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And Bobby, it's always wonderful speaking to you all about the fantastic stuff you get up to over on Stories from the Pacific. Thank you so much. Wishing you a wonderful rest of the day and wonderful rest of the week.
Oh, thanks, boys. Enjoy your day off tomorrow, Jacob. And yeah, I'll hear you on the airwaves, Michael.
Yeah, bright and early. when no one else is coming in.
Yes, Michael Chow, the true workhorse of Nisha Daily, going to be presenting tomorrow. That, of course, was Bobby McCumber from Stories from the Pacific, and an amazing story happening all about the realm of boxing, which is pretty hectic, I think. 9 a.m. PNG time, straight after Nisha Daily is when you can hear it. And Michael Chow, I still don't think I'd be a good boxer in sort of any form, brother.
I believe you.
You know, it'd be terrible. And because, you know, you're not supposed to telegraph things. And every time I know that I'd throw a strike, I'd be saying stuff under my breath. I'd be going, us, those ones.
No, I'd also be doing the same thing. I'd be narrating my own box. I'd be like, here comes the left. Just like, oh no. I mean, it's... jokes. Nothing's coming. How'd they dodge that? It's almost like they knew.
Oh no. All punches will be slipped. But hey, coming up very soon, the news footlines are back. Michael Chow and I are getting journalistic and some hectic stories to cover. Before we get there, though, how about we throw to a classic band, Michael Chow, ABBA. Oh. All right, here is the legendary track.
Surprises.
Take a Chance on Me.
If you change your mind,
take a chance.
I'm the first in line.
Take a chance, take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance,
take a chance on me.
Take a chance.
If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around.
Take a chance.
If you got no place to go when you're feeling down.
Take a chance, take a chance.
If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on.
ABBA this morning with Take a Chance on Me. And I'll tell you what, Michael, I'm not really a huge ABBA guy, right? I'm not, you know, that into ABBA, but after that track, I think I've turned a corner this morning.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you know what I mean? From now on, I might be ABC Radio Australia's resident ABBA original. All right, thoughts on it?
How long were you waiting to whip that out?
The whole time that song was playing.
I love it. I respect it. Yes. Yes, sir.
From PNG to Samoa, you're listening to Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Now, news breaks every day here in the Pacific.
Yeah, Jacob, and some of that news warrants a little more discussion beyond the stories themselves.
So let's say goodbye to the news headlines and hello to the news footlines.
News, I got good news. It is the best news in the world, that's true.
That's right, it's the news footlines, Nisha Daily's very own not-so-newsworthy news segment.
Yeah, where it's up to us, the ABC's worst journalists, to spotlight some of that news right now. And Jacob, I believe you have our first story of the morning. What are we talking about?
I do have a story this morning, and this story is of monumental proportions, all right? And I say that because it centers around a monument, Michael. Now, quickly, do you have a favorite monument anywhere around the world?
Okay. I do, and I don't know what to say right now. Let me think. It's definitely a statue.
Yes. Okay, a statue.
I don't think it's like in a white country. Maybe one in like one of them Roman ones, you know?
Oh, okay.
Sorry, there's only one Roman country. Yes. This saying they don't have an empire anymore.
I know, it was called Rome after a city. So,
sorry, Rome's not even a country.
And look, I bet you'd be devastated if that, you know what I mean, monument was vandalized, all right? And this is the whole story this morning. We're traveling to Fiji where an iconic monument has been damaged. Yes, I was perusing through the news yesterday and came across a report by the Fiji Times in which a town council will have to foot a hefty bill following the vandalization of a statue near Melrose Bridge in Singatoka. Now, the monument in question, Michael, is a giant 12-foot stallion holding a rugby ball beneath its hoof. That's right, a 12-foot horse.
I'm going to Google this now.
A giant
horse statue with a rugby ball?
A giant rugby ball, Michael Chow. This is a huge rugby ball. And
don't know what to Google. I'm Googling horse rugby Fiji. It's not working.
Look, I would quickly like to say that after finding out about this monument just yesterday, it has moved to the top of my list of favorite public artworks. Now, a lot can be said about the constant controversy over public statues in Australia. Now, mostly, monuments here are statues of old sort of British guys. So when I saw a picture of the Singatoka monument, I was refreshed. All right, it's beautiful. A horse with a rugby ball, I say yes to it. And it actually makes me devastated because this monument was vandalized and the Fiji Times has reported those allegedly responsible for the damage have been arrested and may be charged. Now, the bill to fix the sculpture is sitting at a pretty $25,000 Fiji. So a quick call out and reminder to pay your taxes because this council is definitely footing a hefty bill with the damaging of this monument. It's sad, Michael. It's very sad.
All right, I'm looking at the thing now. Yes, it is a giant horse, but my goodness, that rugby ball is larger than the horse.
Yeah, no, it's like 6 foot wide.
I don't understand the proportions, but it's a cool monument.
Yes, and we want to see it rebuilt, all right? So look, much love to the people of Singatoka. Hopefully, all right, your horse monument gets rebuilt sometime very soon.
Now, Jacob, the Kokoda Trail, it's back in the news in a big way, both yesterday and today. In fact, listeners may have been listening earlier when we were unpacking all the ins and outs of the situation with Tekla Gunga, a dear sister and ABC correspondent over in Palm. These two world leaders, they're going for some walkies along the Kokoda and in the lead up to Anzac's dawn service tomorrow morning, which we'll be broadcasting 5:30 a.m. PNG time. A portion of the walk yesterday, they'll be doing another portion today. Now, the full track is almost 100 kilometers long. It's very long. But these two PMs, they're doing a shorter version of the walk. They started like a 15-kilometer walk yesterday, arrived at Deniki Village up in PNG's Oro province, and actually found some audio on Facebook of the traditional welcome that these PMs received over there. Sorry, that was the helicopter arriving, but here comes the traditional welcome, yes. Yeah, look, just so I'd highlight some of the audio, because, like, this is radio, we can't see the video, but I just want to say the footage looks great, as, a bunch of comments coming through as well on Facebook, vast majority of reactions. Beautiful. People are proud. People have been moved. People are like, oh yeah, this is nice that an Australian Prime Minister, because, need I remind you, this is history, because a sitting Prime Minister of Australia has never done the walk, before. He's doing it alongside the PNG's own Prime Minister as well. So that's history, in solidarity for the history that came prior in World War II, of course. But of course, Facebook reactions from all the Wantoks in PNG, let me tell you, there's a majority positive, great and stuff. There's been some funny ones, though, that have been coming through as well. Some people have been pointing out, like, they're wearing the wrong shirts for this walk. Why are they wearing those polo shirts? It's not right. Others have also, probably the most common kind of comment you'll find on the posts are people asking, where's Justin Kachenko at? Because, he's the foreign minister. We've got a foreign PM here. They're like, this guy surely should be on the walk. Where's the good Minister for Foreign Affairs? No comment yet from Justin. Would have been nice to see him on the walk too. Gary Juffa was greeting the men there as well. I think, he was there, but he didn't do the walk. Justin Kachenko, I can't confirm that.
Oh, wow. He's not remembered.
But yeah, it would have been nice to see that. Other people are like, man, why is Albo doing the walk of the Kokoda? I mean, it's obviously for Anzac Day, but other people are like, he should be walking the streets. Come and see, all these things and that thing and stuff. Lots of walks you can do in PNG outside of the Kokoda. And I'm like, fair enough. That's true. I'm just glancing at all these comments now. Not all of them are clean, I should say. So I'm just trying to pick and choose which ones. But it is nice to see this happening. It is nice to see that the two nations of Australia and PNG can come together like this through their leaders. And hopefully more good comes out of it. Because, it's one thing for the leaders to meet. It's another thing for the leaders to, make something out of it. Outside of, I guess, military sort of agreements and stuff. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed.
News, I got good news. It is the best news in the world that's true.
Yes, there you have it. Those were the news footlines for another day here on Nisha Daily. And some inspiring stuff, some tragic stuff coming out of Fiji, but a lot that we covered this morning. And Michael Chow, I have to say, we're actually heading to the end of this hour. Soon we're going to be heading to more news. It's been very journalistic this morning.
Every time you say, I keep thinking the show's over.
No,
it's like
not
heading
over
to the end.
Michael, we've got another glorious hour of Nisha Daily to go, and a huge chat going down this morning that I wasn't privy to because
I was
away.
Part of it, but I can tell you, it's something that will tug at the hearts of any child, any young Pacific Islander who's ever felt like they've had to step up and look after the family, because they're out there. We know them. We're related to them. And, some of us might even be them.
Oh, my gosh. Make sure that you're staying tuned in to Nisha Daily. We'll be back in a few minutes after the news. See you then.
Listening to Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, welcome. It's Nisha Daily here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm Jacob McQuire.
I'm Michael Chow. My lord, thou, mawe, pongi pongini. I gotta say, it's nice to know that your radio towers are working in certain places, Jacob.
Oh, yes.
It was brought to our attention that our Tonga Tower was a bit on the, it was going a bit haywire for a while without us knowing, and we apparently fixed it.
103 FM back online.
It is all fixed up. So once again, a beautiful, beautiful and warm welcome to our Tongan brothers and sisters who are listening in. Yeah. The first time in a while, that old Tonga Tower. Oh my gosh. You wait till I catch that Tonga Tower in public, yeah. Michael Chow. All right, I'm definitely
going to
be...
we'll have some words. Like, how dare you ruin our broadcast? How dare you cut the people of Nukualofa out?
Yeah, but it's all fixed up and we're having a great time this morning on Nisha Daily. And we've got very inspiring chat coming up this morning, Michael, that I wasn't privy to. You had this chat while I was... down bad, down sick, but it's going to be a great one. I've been hearing.
Yes, I can tell you now. This is one that is going to tug at the hearts. It's one that, you know, for any, and you know, we know so many of these young Pacific Islanders who have had to step up and become breadwinners in their family for many reasons out of our control. You know, because you know maybe our parents got sick, maybe our parents you know immigrated and couldn't find work. At their age, you know, there's so all lots of factors that play into this. But it's that weight on the shoulders that maybe we haven't talked about enough. And we'll be hearing from somebody who's spoken to a great many young Pacific Islanders and written this article that has, I guess, you know, it's really lit up the community.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to, you know, listen into this chat and hear what went down. You're listening to Nisha Daily this morning. Stay tuned in. And look, we've got a jam this morning from Tonga because we've got to your back, my dear Tongan people. So let's throw it to the Tonga sisters. This is Taulanga Nukualofa. You're listening to Nisha Daily.
Oh,
the Tonga sisters this morning with Taulanga Nuku Alofa, going out to all the wonderful Tongan people listening in right now, because we are back on air in Tonga this morning. Much love.
Whether you're an uso or a toko, this is Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Now, our next guest is making big strides in the Australian media industry, a journalist, a producer, and a radio host, which is why I'm afraid, Michael, our job security on this show takes a hit whenever these sort of interviews go down.
Yeah, look, you're speaking facts this morning, Jacob. But the fear is unwarranted, because this young woman is a lovely person, I should say, and she's definitely not gunning for our jobs, Jacob. She is, though, championing our people, particularly the youths of the Pacific Island communities out here in places like Australia. Her name is Adele Luamanuvai, and she works for the internationally acclaimed media outlet known as Vice. They're pretty cool. I say that as an ABC journalist. Vice are pretty cool. And under that publication, though, she recently popped up an article that she wrote, which I got to say, Jacob, really hit a lot of young Pacific Islanders right in the feels. People have been sharing this around. Even someone, our producer's sister, shared it with her, saying, "Have you seen this article? It's so good." And our producer, Emily, was like, "Yeah, we're getting her on the show. Keep up, sis." back to snoozing you go. But yeah, look, Adele, she has spoken to a number of young people for this story, some of which have remained anonymous, you know, in a very powerful piece about the kids in island households who have had to shoulder that pressure of being their family's breadwinners. Because it's a very common thing. It's a rough topic as well that, you know, we need to talk about. And Adele has, given some time for us, and I got to catch up with her while you're away, Jacob. We can have a listen to her chat now. Tapalava, kia ora, Adele. Mad pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good. And look, now, for people who listen into the show, say over summer, we've had you on the show during our summer programming when our dear sister Sosafina Formoli was hosting. Just two iconic music journalists hanging out on the show, you know, no biggie. Welcome back, firstly. But hey, as a refresher, and also, you know, those meeting you for the first time today, can you tell us a bit about your family's Pacific heritage and a little about where you grew up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Western Sydney. I was born in Bankstown, and I've been here for my whole life. My mum is Māori. She grew up in Auckland and Pipiwai up in the Northland, and my dad is Samoan. I would give you the villages if I could pronounce them correctly, but I won't embarrass myself today, so I won't. But he is Samoan.
Yeah, look, I don't know what annoys the ancestors more, not naming the village or naming it wrong. So respect.
You can't win. So I'd rather lose.
Yeah, no. And Adele, you know, you're the junior writer and producer for Vice Australia, which is, for anyone out here, a pretty big deal. We've read your work. It's pretty good, not gonna lie. You've also written for Acclaim magazine, Junkie Media. You even find time to host your own radio show over on FBI Radio in Sydney, Australia. There's an article you just wrote. I mean, it's popped up online recently. It caught all our attention big time. It's titled, "In My Pacific Islander Household, I Was the Breadwinner at 14. Strong stuff. And the subtitle is just as powerful. It's a quote that says, "I felt like I was not looked at as their equal, but treated as a daughter with a wallet." Ooh. Now, this article has been resonating with a lot of young Pacific Islanders, is doing the rounds in our circles, bringing up a lot of things that aren't spoken about as much as they probably need to be. Where did the inspiration to write this piece come up?
I think it was just... Well, this has always been a thought of mine, like ever since, obviously, I was 14. Even before then, seeing, you know, my parents fork out thousands of dollars to, you know, send back to the islands and things like that. And I didn't understand it at that time. But when I had to also fulfill that responsibility, it was hard, you know, very hard. And so I think we at work, we had a brainstorm about a topic that we're focusing on, which is broke. And we were looking at different ways to explore the idea of broke, what it could mean. And I came up with this idea because I associated it with broken traditions or broken culture. And so yeah, I felt like I have not really read anything like this before. I haven't seen anything that explores things like this in the realm that I want to kind of tell the story in media before. So I pitched it. Everyone was interested in hearing about it. And so I wrote the piece. And that's just kind of how it came to be.
Yeah, look, this is something that I, you know, forward onto my partner. She's white, Bailangi. She's a well-meaning Pākehā, but, like, you know, it's just like she doesn't get the whole, because, like, when it comes to family, they don't understand that in our culture there's an element, big element of duty involved. It's not just like, oh, yeah, this is my dad, we're mates. It's not like that. It's like there's duty involved in the relationship. And this article, again, it's so powerful. And you referred to a Samoan term that I haven't come across, fa'alave lave. For the non-Samoans out here, could you elaborate what fa'alave lave is?
Yeah, so fa'alave lave is basically gift-giving or financial support in Samoan culture. So if there is like a birthday, a wedding, a funeral, or a chief ceremony, anything that requires, you know, a lot of, I guess, financial support, you will be called upon as a member of the family to provide that. And yeah, that's basically what it is. Obviously, you know, it's I quoted a doctor from the University of Auckland, I believe, who called it as the manifestation of love. And I think that's a really beautiful way of putting it. Just because it really is that, you know, giving is love and support is love. And so this is just, you know, another iteration of that in the culture. But I guess the lens that I explore it in my article is a little bit different.
Mm. And shout outs to Lefa Ali'i, Dr. Dion Anari. He's a friend of the show. We've spoken to him a few times. Great man. Always surprising to see what else he does. It's like, oh, wait, he appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race recently. It's like, oh, man does everything. But yeah.
Oh, look, that's sick.
Yeah, I know. Look it up. Or don't if you want to. But yeah, look. Got to ask, like, you know, because there's such a huge personal element, you know, you're really putting yourself out there in this piece. What is, I guess, your own experience within your family with fa'alave lave?
Yeah, so I, like, mentioned a little bit earlier, but from as long as I can remember, my dad, even my mum would put money towards giving, like, financial support to the islands. And I've seen it, you know, put us in really bad times, basically broke, you know. And obviously, as a child, you don't fully understand the duty and action of fa'alave lave. So when I got my first job working in fast food and I was also called upon to fulfill that duty, I started to realize, you know, I do not have ownership over my own money, the money that I earn, as little as it may be. And it was kind of, you know, especially like being in Australia and growing up in Australia, I was kind of torn between the privilege that I have. You know, it's a privilege to earn money. It's a privilege to have money that to call your own. And I was still at odds with giving it to people who were lesser than me, you know, my own family or family members who come from a developing country who don't make the money that I'm making, no matter how little it is. So it was hard. It was kind of, you know, I was just in the middle of, like, you know, wanting to be that provider no matter how young I was, but also wanting to have my own financial autonomy and not be dealing with debt and financial trauma at 14 years of age. So it's been a really hard journey balancing the two, I think. But I think what helps it is talking to people who are also going through the same experience. And of course, writing about it, you know, doing it, you know, expressing my feelings in the best way that I know how, writing this article, being able to talk about it and platform voices that also have gone through a similar experience. So yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you just touched on this, but do want to zero in on it more, Adele. Like, what does it mean to be a breadwinner at such a young age? Like, you know, what are the sacrifices being made? Is there resentment involved in all this?
Yeah, I feel like for a while there was definitely resentment just because I was, you know, paying for things that my parents couldn't pay for in terms of schooling as well, whether that be uniform, textbooks, stationery, you know, the money that I was making would go towards that. And so when I had to sacrifice, you know, vital, essential stuff to my schooling to send it somewhere else, it was definitely hard to grasp. And I feel like for a while, I definitely resented the fact that this is what I had to do now. But at the end of the day, like, it is what it is. Like, that's just the culture. That's just the tradition. And it's something that for the time being, I will have to commit to because that is what has to be done. But yeah, it's just difficult, I think. It's difficult to kind of manage the two and find a very healthy balance. And I think once I started to get older and also earn a lot more money, I was able to really properly designate where it went, and also communicate my feelings to my family, and tell them that, you know, I can't financially do this, but I can do something else for you. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, big ups on the communication. I mean, like, anyone listening, can we all just communicate? It's so important in healthy ways, of course. Communicate healthily. And hey, look, if you just pulled up, you're out here on the sunny shores of Neesha Daily on ABC Radio Australia. We're hanging out with music journalist and junior writer and producer for Vice Australia. It's proud Samoan Maori woman, Adele Luamanuvai. We're talking about her article. It's called "In My Pacific Islander House, I Was the Breadwinner at 14. Ooh, I always got to take a big breath after that one because, like, it's heavy. It's heavy. I feel the weight when I just say it out loud. And, you know, there's obviously positives to, like, assisting your community through something like Fa'alavilavi, which you talk about. But as a young person, again, as you point out in your article, it's a lot to carry on the shoulders. It is a lot. It messes with you. And we've spoken about the impact on the children, but how does this affect the whole family?
I definitely feel like I have been looked at as, I guess, like not a plastic islander or a plastic Samoan, but I've definitely been looked at as a Samoan who isn't willing to put in the effort to be a Samoan, if that makes sense. Like, I definitely get, like, my dad has even told me, like, you and your siblings, in the view of your family in Samoa, are privileged kids. Like, you are people who don't understand the struggle of living in Samoa, and you are given everything that you want in Australia. If that answers your question. But yeah, I think. And I don't blame them for feeling that way, obviously. Like, we are, despite being Samoan, we're culturally different. Like, we grew up in Australia, they grew up in Samoa, they're from Samoa, we're from Australia, you know what I mean? So there's already some very big cultural differences. But I think the fact that I'm able to call the shots on certain things, I think they see that as me not doing all I can for the family, if that makes sense. Because obviously, you know, family is really huge in our culture. And if you're not willing to do everything and give everything to your family, then you're not family, if that makes sense. So that's like in the perspective of my Samoan family back in the islands. But here I feel like it's kind of a bit more liberating in my family. I think we all have started to kind of find our footing in this situation, and we've all been able to you know, make boundaries and just be open and honest about what we want to do with our own financial earnings and things like that. So yeah, I feel like I'm not alone, which is good, with my siblings. I think we are all on the same page, and we are all able to communicate what we do with our stuff, which is good.
What's great is you are not alone, because you do speak to a few young Pacific Islanders in this article who are feeling the pressures and burden of these financial duties. Tell us about the people you spoke with and what experiences they shared.
Yeah, first off, I want to say a huge thank you to every single person that I spoke to, especially those who decided to keep anonymous, because you could tell that, like, just from them contacting me, there's a lot of internal conflict that goes into wanting to talk about this. And they obviously feel a sense of guilt or shame. That's why they want to keep their identity hidden, which I respect fully. And I appreciate them being so willing and being so open to sharing their stories. So I want to say a huge thank you to them, and a huge thank you to everyone who wanted to also put, you know, their name to it. It takes a lot to talk about this. And even some of them were saying, like, you know, they feel scared to share it because they have their name attached to it, but they feel as equally liberated because it's out there. So I want to say thank you to them as well. Everyone was just, you know, it felt so familiar talking to them about their experiences, because, you know, some of them would say a phrase and I'd be like, I've said that exact same phrase like 10 times in a day because I feel the weight of it. So it just felt like it was, you know, I cried quite a bit reading some of the responses and talking to some of these guys, just because, like, it was kind of surreal, the fact that we were all, I guess, trauma bonded by this situation, by this cultural tradition. And, like, we all, I guess, like, they found comfort in me and I found comfort in them in talking about such a heavy topic, because I don't imagine that there's a lot of people out there who would be willing to hear you out or even share their own story when it comes to a topic like this. So beautiful responses from a beautiful bunch of people. I felt so much community in talking to them, and I hope that this article and these conversations resonated with people enough to open up their own conversations, whether it be with their own family or their friends or even to themselves. Admitting it to yourself and, you know, talking to yourself about things like this is still quite confronting. So, yeah, I hope that the article has been able to bring people together and spark up something within the community.
Adele Omanubay, whaifaitai tele for, you know, joining us on Niger Daily this morning. And, look, hopefully we get to catch up again. Third time.
Whaifaitai. Hi, Michael. Thank you.
That was a deep conversation with young Pacific writer, producer, and journalist Adele Luamanuvai. She wrote this bold and powerful piece of journalism for Vice Australia, and the article is called In My Pacific Islander Household, I Was the Breadwinner at 14. Now, it's a deep, hard look at the pressures and trauma experienced by young Pacific Islanders who have had to step up and shoulder the weight of financial responsibility in their families. And even the article's subtitle was a direct quote pulled from one of the young people that Adele interviewed. And the quote was, I felt like I was not looked at as their equal, but treated as a daughter with a wallet. And look, as you can imagine, this article has been getting some serious shares around the young people in our island community. And it's why we had to speak with the young woman who wrote the article herself.
Yeah, man. Honestly, we also need to acknowledge that there were some really, really brave individuals who contributed to Adele's article, as well as Adele herself. Seriously, it takes a massive deal of courage just to speak about it. I suppose, you know, the very taboo thing, you know, we don't often discuss publicly in fear of, like, our parents and elders. And, you know, that thing is questioning family dynamics. You know, we're very big on family in our Pacific communities, and a lot of young people just too afraid to question family on anything, even something like this practice of fa'alavelave. So, yeah, mad respect to Adele for platforming these voices and experiences that clearly has resonated with so many young people who've seen this article, and mad respect to Adele for even just making time for us.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, definitely something I'll be thinking about all day after listening to that one, Michael. Much love to Adele. You're listening to Niger Daily, and we'll have some of the latest news coming up in just a second.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that honours that tradition, allowing you to hear in-depth personal stories from sports people to farmers, artists to teachers, activists to entrepreneurs, with one thing in common: their Pacific heritage and a unique and incredible story to tell. Stories from the Pacific, Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Whether you're a Wantok or a Toko, you're listening to Niger Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
And it's about that time where we take a quick pit stop and catch up on all the latest news headlines. Here's Kyle Evans from Pacific Beat.
We started in PNG where Anthony Albanese and James Merape are hiking the Kokoda Trail. So they set off today on the second leg of their journey, which will take them to Isarawa Village for the dawn service tomorrow morning. So we had a good chat with Belinda Cora about the significance of that visit, particularly on the heels of a Chinese delegation. Next, we shifted our focus to the Solomon Islands election, where voting has just wrapped up. Caretaker PM Manasa Sogavare's Our Party claiming 15 MPs. It's a far cry from the 30 MPs they had coming into the election. And it's a long way from what they actually need to form government as well. So coalition negotiations, they have virtually begun, and we had a good chat to long-time Solomon Islands journalist Dorothy Wickham about what happens from here, and yeah, a new PM is not quite out of the question. We also heard from Timor-Leste. Their news coverage has been found lacking when it comes to women's issues. Researchers found that gender stereotypes are commonplace, and blame in areas such as domestic violence reporting are commonly attributed to women. And lastly, we wrap things up with a Torres Strait Islander health professional who is attending the World Health Summit in Melbourne at the moment.
Kyle Evans this morning with your latest news headlines. And if you want to know more about those stories, then you can absolutely head on over to our website. That's right. You can just search up in your favorite search engine, ABC Pacific, and all the latest news is right there. But I'll tell you what, Michael Chow, all the latest tunes are right here on Nisha Daily. It is hump day, Michael Chow. All right. And I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it's a mighty hump, a big old mountain in the middle of the week that we just like look at it and we're like, nah, I'd rather walk the Kokoda track.
No, it's definitely a hard time of the week, but coming up very soon, our brother Jamin will be jumping on Nisha Daily to give us his track of the week, something to get you through this, well, day called Wednesday, and a day it is. So stick around, you're listening to Nisha Daily. Let's head to a track. Here's Fair Joint featuring Connex, Reggie and Switchy with Come Closer.
I like the way you poom poom patio. I like the way you wind your body for me. Yeah, I know that you know I'm watching you. I'm catching your vibe, can't even lie. Just like that car that I wish I could drive. The way you look at me, girl, I'm glad that you're mine. We underneath the stars, up in the rain, yeah. We've been to hell and back, baby. We came to conquer that, baby. My love is all I have. Come closer. African man, no get time to fum. Tell you the truth, you my number one. Slow it down, let me give you some love. Ooh, baby, why you act like this? I need you real close, but you're far away. Why you wanna break me out like this? Or maybe I'm going crazy. See the way I look at you, I wanna make you mine. And when you're underneath the stars, baby, you are one of a kind. I need to hit a rewind. We can get lost in time. I get to love, get to cash, get to buy. I go do anything for you.
Come closer, come closer, come closer.
Baby, come closer.
My head, love is driving me.
Absolutely love that track. That was Come Closer this morning. Fed Joint featuring Connex, Reggie, and Switch E. Man, that's got me ready, Michael Chow. I'm ready.
Oh, me too. Body, mind, and spirit.
This is Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Once more, we have arrived at the halfway point of the week, the midweek mountain we call Hump Day, and it's about this time that we need a little something special to pick us up, give us that extra push to get through the rest of the working calendar.
Absolutely, and there's no better way to lift our spirits than by turning up a tasty jam, and we do that by calling upon our dear friend, Jamin.
This is how we do it.
Nisha Daily Solo Selector.
Jamming. Yes. Live from his home in the Happy Isles, it's singer and songwriter Christopher Mana, aka Jamming. Chris, how are we doing this morning, brother?
Hey, good, good, good. We're back again, and yes, good morning, or good evening, or good afternoon. I don't know where you guys are around this globe right now.
Look, it's definitely evening somewhere on the planet. So.
Yeah, man. And yes, it's good to be tuning in again with Nisha Daily. And yeah, we have a lot of good stuff to talk about and share with you guys today.
Yeah, look, speaking of good stuff, I'm sure Honiara, your home, has been... Have people returned from their provinces yet? Because, you know, we had a lot of movement happening last week because of the elections. People, like, scattering around to just to vote. And I know, like, the counting is still happening, yada, 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 politics aside. When is it going to be business back in business as usual, or is it going to be island time for, like, the next couple of weeks?
So I think business as usual is everything's getting back to normal. Mm. Hopefully the next week. But yes, we have the elections coming to close in the next few days, Friday, and then everything's going back to normal. We have normal gigs and all the work, and you know, everything's going back. And I do hope that it gets back to normal, because you know, we have to do our gigs and all the stuff. So yes, please, people. Get back to normal very soon.
Oh my God, and yeah. all this talk of gigs, bro. What gigs have you got coming up?
So we have on Saturday, there's like a couple of concerts going on. It's from some of the bands here, 56 Hop Road. I don't know if you guys heard of them. They are doing a reunion, a concert. And yes, it's on Saturday, this Saturday. So yes, I will be attending that. And yeah, I've been listening to these guys for a few, you know, quite a minute now. So yes, it's good to see them back and doing their stuff again. So yeah, that's coming up on this Saturday.
Oh, sick. For anyone listening in Honiara right now, what's the venue? Where can they go?
So it's at Pacific Crowns Hotel, Kanu Bar. And yes, the tickets out now. Just get them at the gate if you can't buy them right now. Because yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be wild.
Man, I always get FOMO when I talk to you,
I know, Chris. Like, we'd love a ticket to a Jammin' show, but it's just like we've got to buy two sets of tickets. One is the show, one is the flights.
Yeah, no.
Hey, but then it has to be like featuring Michael Chow and Jacob McGuire.
Oh,
there we go.
See, and then we'll see, you know, Michael do his stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know what I'll do, bro.
That'd just be hype me up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll do the ad-libs.
Yeah, you'll be the hype one.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. That's it. And if you're listening in right now, you're hanging out with Jacob and Michael here on Nisha Daily, and we're currently locked in with our very own solo selector, Christopher Mana, a.k.a. Jamin. And Chris, each week on a Wednesday, we task you with bringing us a special song to help pump us up at the midweek hump. So, Chris, what song have you brought us today?
So yes, man, I'm excited to share with you guys this song. I've been listening to this guy's stuff for quite a a while now, and you know, from the get go, when I was listening to him, I thought I was listening to Chris Brown, because bro, this dude's voice is like, is so similar to that. And you know, growing up, I've been listening to a lot of Chris Brown stuff, but like I've been listening to this new artist, and I think he's currently living in Australia right now as well. And this is one of his songs. It's called Gone Be, and I think the artist is called Sia. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but yeah, he's been in the music scene for quite a minute now. And yes, so yeah, this song is called Gone Be. It's the type of song that gives you, like, you know, that extra push that you need for the next few weeks. And yes, it's definitely a good song, a motivational song for you to put on your playlist. So yes, this song is called Gone Be.
Oh man, hectic.
I'm keen to get into it, because one, I've never heard the track. Two, I have not heard of the artist Sia until this morning.
For real?
Yeah, bro. No, I haven't. And now I'm looking at it, and I'm just going off visuals alone. This guy's got some serious smooth criminal going on. He's got that, yeah, Michael, man, Jackson swagger with like the gangster hat. He's got the moves. It's just like, oh my gosh, I want to hear what it sounds like, based off what I'm looking at.
And then like the best part about it is like he's also from the Pacific. So yeah, you know, in some kind of way, I'm kind of like, you know, feeling this like Pacific pride going on here. But yeah, he's definitely the Pacific's Chris Brown right now. And yeah, man, I'm just, you know, super excited to have you guys listen to this track and, you know, maybe have your thoughts on it after. So yeah.
Oh no, so I think I've been listening to Sia, I think when he did that track with Lion Rez a while ago, I think it was called like This Love of his album. That was, you know, that was pumping me up throughout the days. So I'm gonna ask, when did you stumble across the track Gombe? What were you doing? You know what I mean? What was your first sort of impressions of the track?
So like you know, for independent artists, we do promote our stuff on TikTok. And that's where I found Sia. He's been promoting this song, Gone Be. I think it's a few months back, last year, somewhere around mid-September or something. Yeah, that's where I found out Sia. And bro, he kind of like stood out to me as a very, very cool pop artist. And I do, like, you know, appreciate the fact that he's like taking that gospel concept to his style of music. And yeah, it's very nice to have that kind of, like, you know, gospel genre in the modern pop industry music right now. So yes, that's Sia.
Oh my gosh, Sia.
I am primed for this.
I am ready. I think it's time we get into this morning. Jamin, thank you so much for joining us right here on Nisha Daily and blessing us with an amazing track. We're wishing you a wonderful rest of the day. And look, we can't wait to hear all about the concert this weekend, brother. We need a recap next week, man.
Yes, sir. I will be, I'll be sure to send you guys some audio for the next one. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
All right. You guys have a great week, and we'll catch up on the next one.
Too easy jamming this morning. Christopher Mana, and he has blessed us with the track Gone Be by Sia. Let's get into this, Michael Chow.
Alright, okay, whatever's coming, yeah, 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 yeah. and I pray.
I know that I'm gone. Alright,
alright.
Okay,
okay.
Whatever's coming,
come my way.
Gotta pray.
Don't be too hard on yourself. We're all just trying to figure it out.
Figure it out.
That was the Solo Selector's selection for this beautiful Wednesday, Sia with Gone B. And Michael Chow.
Wait, that wasn't Chris Brown?
No, that wasn't Chris Brown, brother. That was Sia. Oh my gosh, how'd you feel about that one, bro?
I loved it. Again, like, this guy's a full package, because if you haven't seen, like, again, I only heard about Sia this morning. I'm new to the club, but I looked at the visuals that this guy does. Oh man, this guy's got swag. Like, man, his look is so cool. His dance moves, oh my gosh, why do the rest of us even try to learn anything?
That's the thing, yo. I've been like looking at Sia and, you know, dance moves, okay? Corey, he's got the mad vocals, all right? He's got the style, and I just feel so terrible about myself. I was like, yeah, we need to pick things up here on Nisha Daily, man. All right, we need to start two-stepping. We should get dance lessons together, bro.
Yeah, because that'll translate well in our radio job, Jacob.
Absolutely.
People will be able to hear us making moves, never seeing them.
You'll just hear a lot of shifting of jean jackets here in the office. It'll be pretty crazy. You're listening to Nisha Daily right now, ABC Radio Australia.
Join me, Melissa Macon, for Nisha Daily, the afternoon edition, every Tuesday and Wednesday on ABC Radio Australia. I'll bring you the stories of the week from across the Pacific and talk health and religion with experts in their field and individuals making the difference. Nisha Daily, the afternoon edition, every Tuesday and Wednesday from 4 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
What's your favourite view where you live in the Pacific? Grab your phone or your camera and take a pic of it, because Nisha Daily is running a photo competition. We're looking for photos which represent you and your part of the Pacific. Anyone can enter, you don't have to be a professional, and there are prizes up for grabs, so get snapping and send us a photo in WhatsApp of your favourite view. It's +61 437 519 385. That's +61 437 519 385. And tune in to Nisha Daily weekdays from 7 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia for all the details.
Whether you're an Uso or a Toko,
this is Nisha Daily with Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, and it's about that time this morning where we take a look back at the show that was. Of course, we've got to catch up with our dear sister, our dear producer, Emily Nguyen Hunt, for the morning. Malo! Emily, how are you going this morning?
Oh my God, I just nearly jumped out of my seat, Michael.
Yeah, I had to grab my vuvuzela for this one.
Oh my goodness, that was loud.
I know.
Sorry to all your ears if you're listening.
No, I'm not sorry.
Seriously instrumental.
You're welcome to your ears.
Oh, so good, so good. Man, we're having such a good day on the show. It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, happy hump day, everyone. Thanks for listening in to Nisha Daily this morning. If you miss anything, as always, head to abc.net.au/Pacific and look for our show. Guys, one of the big stories this week has been that Australia and PNG's PMs are walking the historic Kokoda track. Anthony Albanese and James Marape are on day two of their trek today. We spoke to ABC's top journo on the ground, Tekla Gunga, who told us they walked 15 kilometers yesterday. 15 kilometers. That's a lot.
And it is.
Also shared what the significance of this trek is for the two countries.
It's an exciting time here in Port Moresby especially. The plan for Albanese was to trek a section of the Kokoda Trail, and by Anzac Day, he would have reached this village called Iso Rave, which has the memorials. So that is where they will celebrate the Anzac Day tomorrow. The significance of this walk is this is the first time in the history of Papua New Guinea and even Australia for a prime minister, a sitting prime minister, to walk the trek. So it's a history for both PNG and Australia, where both sitting prime ministers walked a section of the Kokoda track. But for this year, to have two sitting prime ministers walk the track, it's something that's it's like history in itself.
So that was our journo on the ground, Tekla Gunga, talking about Albanese and Marape's walk on the Kokoda track today. It's day two, and then tomorrow they will be at the dawn service, which we are airing on ABC Radio Australia at 5:30 a.m. PNG time as well. Yeah, sore legs, I can imagine.
15 yeah. kilometers. Is wild. Yeah, right?
It's not like 15 kilometers in a straight line.
No, it's like kilometers very through like hilly.
Such
and,
a. Oh, yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy.
On though. Them. That's a really hard trek. Oh, yeah. My goodness. I don't think we would have. I don't think we could make
no
it.
No chance.
No.
Honestly.
I can hardly, you know, trek to my car, you know, at the car park that's like 200 meters away. So this is wild.
We had to move our desks closer to the studio because yeah. we didn't want to
oh,
walk
man, that's a
from
trek.
Where we were.
Oh no.
Yeah. This is not good. We need some training. But yeah, later in the show, we had another great interview with a young Pacific Islander who wrote an article titled "In My Pacific Islander Household, I Was the Breadwinner at 14. And we just had to hear more from the talented writer herself.
I was, you know, paying for things that my parents couldn't pay for in terms of schooling as well, whether that be uniform, textbooks, stationery, you know, the money that I was making would go towards that. And so when I had to sacrifice, you know, vital, essential stuff to my schooling to send it somewhere else, it was definitely hard to grasp. And I feel like for a while, I definitely resented the fact that this is what I had to do now. But at the end of the day, like, it is what it is. Like, that's just the culture. That's just the tradition. And it's something that for the time being, I will have to commit to because that is what has to be done. But yeah, it's just difficult, I think. It's difficult to kind of manage the two and find a very healthy balance. And I think once I started to get older and also earn a lot more money, I was able to really properly designate where it went. And also communicate my feelings to my family.
So that was Adele Luamanuvai. She's a writer for Vice. And yeah, just talking about being the breadwinner and shouldering financial pressures from a young age in Pacific Islander families. It's something that a lot of us can probably relate to. And she spoke to a lot of very young, brave Islanders for her article as well. So yeah, go check that out. Have a read. Yeah, that was your show today, guys. Head to the website if you want to listen back or give us feedback on any of our stories.
Love the feedback. You can even text us on the WhatsApp line if you like, +614 3751 9385. We have been getting some feedback, by the way. Let me just whip out the old texty just recently.
People have been sending us messages.
Yes, they do. Wow. We don't always have time to read them out, which is sad, but, you know, sometimes we do. William in Kokopo sent a message yesterday when we finally switched on the Kokopo Tower. He just wanted to say, hey, good morning, ABC, listening to you from Kokopo Village Resort. William here. Yeah, look, William was having a good time, tuning into the show. Another one from Joshua Wanji from Rambucho Island in Manus Islands province. He was like, yeah, I love listening to your morning program. I listen to it every day to work.
Wow.
One morning you played Houseboy and then heard Felix Yaosi too. I was so psyched. I'm from Manus and Sipik. So, you know, both those artists are from both those parts of PNG. And he was like, that just made my day. I wish our radio stations have the same standard. Keep up the good work, Papu. Which is like, you know, a kind of term that we use for like older to younger generation.
Oh,
but
wow.
Yes. So, yeah, shout outs to my fellow Manus Islanders. We don't even go out to Manus yet, but, you know.
To be honest, I looked at like the ABC Pacific Post, just saying we're in Kokopo, huge thing. And then I saw a comment and it was just like, when are we going to Manus? It's like a whole thing. So we're in demand.
In demand. But you might be able to answer that down the line.
But yes, it's been a huge, huge week as far as just people hearing us. We have the Kokopo transmitter come up. We've got Tonga back on the air. And look, if you're only just listening to Neija Daily, we have to say we're in the last week of the Neija Daily photo competition. All right, the last week.
Final week. Final chance to get your photos in. It's gone so quick. And the hardest thing is that picking one winner, because again, reminder, if you've already sent in a picture since week one, you still count. You might actually get week six of the competition. So with that in mind, you can only imagine how much this is the most stacked week of entrants to choose from. And I am just, I need a good rest.
It's a real struggle. There are so many great pictures. Our inbox is just flooded with photos and they're all so good. It's really hard to choose.
It's getting so difficult. And if you want to make our job harder, then get your photos in. All right. It's best view of the Pacific. Make sure you take your photos very soon. You can send them in to the WhatsApp 614 3751 9385. You can get more information on our website or our Instagram or Facebook accounts. Just search up ABC Pacific in your favorite search engine. And there are prizes on offer, including your very own Neija Daily t-shirt, which is a holy grail as far as garments, I think. All right, it's probably in my top 10 garments of all time. Would you agree, Michael
Chan? Honestly, because again, started this year, only two people owned one of these t-shirts. Me and Jacob. Nobody else. We kept it to ourselves. Even our producer doesn't have one.
I actually do have one. Okay. Sorry.
Well, our producer stole one.
I actually have
one.
Two.
Stole two.
I don't know why you would admit that on air, Emily.
This is live radio. It's not like we can edit anything out.
All right. So before a legal case is taken against Emily, let's wrap up the show this morning. Emily, thank you so much for dropping us, giving us a look back at the show that was.
Me and my t-shirt say thank you. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. You're not going to see me tomorrow. Michael Chow, that's us, bro.
Yeah, look, I'll be back on air tomorrow. Nobody else, because everybody else got a holiday. Yes. Hurrah, takala.
Oh my gosh, wishing you a wonderful rest of the day. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. PNG time. I say we, I mean just Michael. Stay tuned at ABC Radio Australia this morning, because Stories from the Pacific is coming up next. Time for us to say imam. That means goodbye. Catch you tomorrow.